Hi, everyone. This is my first Zoom, so bear with me. Hopefully I know what I'm doing here. Thank you for tuning in to this very important class. Of course, we're all thinking about all the cholim and all the people who are suffering during this time. It's been sitting on our heads, our hearts, and our thoughts, all the people who are affected by this. I think we're all affected in some way. Some family member or friend. It's just been a very difficult time for all of us, and we're all keeping the cholim and the people who are suffering in mind. This class is dedicated to them. Everything we do to grow from this class and moving forward, we should always just keep dedicating it to refuah shleima for all those people, and just to ask Hashem to try to help us during this time and maybe get things a little more back to normal soon. So just wanted to introduce this class with that, of course. So all the BRS women who have tuned in, I really miss you. It's hard not seeing all of your faces and all of you all the time in shul and in the supermarket and on the streets. It's definitely been an adjustment. And we really just miss being with all of you. And it's at least we have this opportunity. So for those of you who have tuned in, I'm sending all my love to you and look forward to seeing you all in person very soon. So this class is called Shalom Bayis, When You Can't Leave the Bayis. We've all been taking classes for many years on Shalom Bayis. We all put an effort in Shalom Bayis. We all care about always improving on our Shalom Bayis. These times are definitely unprecedented. It's very, very difficult. It's a very unique time in our homes, and Shalom Bayis definitely has a new meaning. I know that we often will define Shalom Bayis as peace in the home. There's always that cute little joke that we like to make fun of the men who'll say, Shalom Bayis. I have Shalom Bayis when I leave the house. Shalom, goodbye. These days, it has a whole new meaning because it's Shalom Bayis. Hello, Bayis. Hello, hi. We're here. We're in the Bayis. We're at home longer amounts of time than ever. And we're definitely all trying to understand this time period, how to improve on our Shalom Bayis, the fact that we're home so much. I think all of us are adjusting to the fact that our whole days used to be spent in our cars, at work, outside the home, in the stores. Definitely, like I said, our cars. I think my car has always been an extension of my house. We're spending so much more time at home these days, and it's definitely a big adjustment for all of us. The members of our family also always have most of their time outside the house, whether it was in school or at work, at meetings, involved in different aspects of the community. It's been a really hard, difficult change for all of us to come to this point where we're really spending all of our time in our homes. Some of us, it's been amazing. We're having terrific quality time with our spouses. Those of us who have our kids at home, it's been very nice quality family time. You know, no complaints, people are happy, and it's been great. Others, it's been great the first couple of weeks. It was really nice, special, all this time. We played games and we did fun things. And as the time went on, certainly Pesach definitely threw a wrench in things. It became a little bit more complicated, and people, I don't know if they're have that it's great attitude anymore. And certainly there are those who start out during this whole time period as really struggling from the start, where it's been a very big adjustment, very difficult to be home all the time, to bring all the focus of our lives into the home. And Shalom Bayis has been really complicated. So tonight what we're going to try to focus on is what we could do. What are some tips that we could hear to try to help us improve in this time period, in our peace in our homes, in our hello homes, because we are home now, and how we could definitely adjust to this new time. The Ramchal writes in his introduction to Masilas Yesharim that everything that he's about to teach us, everything he's about to tell us, is all stuff that we know. It's all review. And yet it is the most learned sefer in the planet. Everyone loves Masilas Yesharim and always learns every time that they read through it. Same too with the Shalom Bayis topic. There are so many things that we're going to discuss tonight that so many of you could probably sit here in my seat and teach. We all know, we all have tried throughout our lives, and it's something that is self, explanatory, and it's something that we always have on our minds and try to work on. But it's something that we always do need to review. And the more that we learn it together and the more that we talk about these topics, the more that hopefully we can improve and really incorporate it into our lives. So tonight's about reviewing together different tips. Those of you who know me know that I like to do things in numbers. So these are top 10 tips on how we can not just maintain our marriages and keep the status quo, but even improve upon our marriages during this time of crisis. So tip number one, don't judge your marriage by Corona. don't judge your marriage by what's happening during this time period. I had a phone call last week. Someone called me and said, you know, I'm seeing these new sides of my husband that I've never seen before. There's crazy impatience. He's just going off on all of our kids and, you know, on me. And there's a lot of yelling and there's anger. And he's so angry and he's just flying off the handle. And I can't take it anymore. It's so stressful. It's so tense. I need out. I think we're going to have to get divorced after this. I can't do it anymore. And very soon after that, I spoke to someone who was telling me, you know, my husband was this high-powered, you know, very difficult profession where he was always at meetings and always on his phone and always running and doing, and he was never home. And all of a sudden, he's home all the time, and I'm seeing the side of him where he's so caring and he's so involved and he's so attentive, and I've never seen the side of him, and things are amazing. We have the best marriage ever. And both of these are definitely scenarios that people are experiencing, where you have some situations where the husband is going out of his mind and he can't take it anymore and his temper is flaring and he's definitely a new side where he's angry and stressed and not being able to handle it and is definitely mishandling things and losing control. And that's a horrible thing that people are seeing. And I'm sure, again, wives are also having that, but we're talking about the husbands now. And then there are scenarios where husbands, you see a whole new side where he's so involved at home all the time. The thing is that this is not going to last. Please God, we will get out of the situation, I hope, soon. And this is a small blip in our marriage. It's a small period of time. It's a moment in time. It's hopefully a few weeks, months, and our marriages will hopefully get back to normal, where most of our lives will again be outside the house and again be doing the things that we were doing before, whether that's work, shopping, school, whatever it is. So we can't judge our marriages by what's happening right now. What's happening right now is not the natural state. It's not the way our marriages are meant to be. We're not supposed to be home this amount of time. We're not supposed to only be home. And we can't jump to conclusions on our husbands and on our marriages and on what's going on right now and say, this is how it is, because it's really not how it is. This is definitely an ulterior universe. It's not normal. And let's not jump to any conclusions, but try to live with what we have right now, try to manage it and do the best we can. But everyone should just, you know, breathe and take it slow and realize that things will change and will evolve. In Pirkei Avos, we just read, Danes kol ha'adam l'kaf zchus. It says kol ha'adam. We don't just judge every person, we judge the entire person. That it's not just how they're behaving at this time or the one personality trait that we're seeing. It's the full person. And we have to realize that at different times, there'll be different people and we'll see different things. Right now, we might be seeing one thing, but this time is not going to last. So let's be patient and let's realize that things are going to change. Hopefully they'll get back to normal soon and we'll see different sides, and let's just not judge our marriages based on this time period. That's tip number one. Tip number two, find time when there is no time. As we know, these days are very busy. We have a lot going on in our homes, whether it's projects that we've put aside a million years ago. I know I used to do them before Pesach. This year I did not do them before Pesach. I'm sure many people are organizing their homes. People have their kids homeschooling, and they're all over the place and busy all day. Others are just, you know, in touch with their family all the time. We're all very, very busy. We're filling our times with a lot of different things, and there really is very little free time. But it's very, very important to make our marriages a priority, and to make sure that we are finding time to spend with our spouses. And whether that's sneaking a few minutes during the day, going into a closed room and having a conversation, or it's taking a walk around the block and just spending that quality time talking alone together. I don't know about you, but I went for a walk yesterday, Shabbos morning, and I never could go walk with my husband on Shabbos morning, and it was glorious. It was just amazing to have that time. We were able to just walk around and just talk about nothing so important, but just have that time to be together. And it was wonderful. So, you know, there are definitely opportunities now to just steal a few minutes. Again, my kids were all in my house, but we said, we're going for a walk, and we did. So, you know, life gets busy and we often prioritize our kids, our other family members, the projects we have to get done, our work. But during this time especially, you know, we need that companionship. We need that time together. We have to make sure to carve out that time to find things to do together that will make us happy and not stress us out. Our time together should not be watching news reports. That's not going to bond us. That's not going to connect us. It's just going to make us nervous and stressed. We have to find things that we could connect together on. I actually, on Pesach, I went, you know, there were a lot of days in a row of Yantif, so you had to find things to do to keep busy. And I have a few shoeboxes of old birthday and anniversary cards and letters that we wrote. Yeah, we used to write letters to each other before there were texting and emails. And we found these letters that we wrote to each other when we were dating, and old pictures of us from camp and from our childhoods. And we just had the best time. I don't think we've done that ever, honestly, or in a million years. But we found that time. We found those boxes. We just sat there. We reminisced. We went through so many funny memories and beautiful memories, and we really connected on that level, and it was a lot of fun. So find different things to do, find activities that you could do in the house that will make it exciting. You know, many of us, I try in my refresher classes and my college classes, I often teach about how we still have to date while we're married. And you know, you think dating is a time where you go to all these fun places and, you know, you're getting to know each other. But even when you're married, you have to find time that's quality time for you and your husband. You have to still find time to date. Now, we're not going to restaurants these days. We're not going to sports world. We're not doing anything that's taking us outside of our house. We have to be creative, and we have to carve out time to do things that we'll enjoy. And I don't have so many ideas for you, but whatever we're doing, it should be done without a cell phone, without our technology, focus on each other. Again, you can't do this all the time, but try to find some moments together where you are having fun, where you're being creative, where you're talking about things that are not your to-do list, that are not things that you have to get done, and, you know, talking about, you know, the kids and talking about the responsibilities, but really just focusing on each other. I've spoken before about how we have this date night cheat sheet where it's questions like, what are your dreams and aspirations? What do you still want to accomplish in your life? What are regrets that you have? And there are certain games that you could get. A friend of mine just sent us this game called Tabletop Conversations or something like that, where these cards, and they have questions that are just great questions. You know, if you could go to a deserted island, who would you want to bring with you? Or different questions like that that just stimulate conversation, conversations that you don't have on a regular basis, that don't come up typically. And you're making that effort, and you're trying really hard to reconnect in a very bonding, connecting way, not in a stressed out and anxious way. And just make sure to laugh together and to have fun together. And that it shouldn't just be that because it's such a time of stress and anxiety that you're bringing each other down, but the two of you together are finding that time to bring each other up, to remember what you love about each other, how to have fun together, and how to connect in a productive and a positive way. Number three, take a 5-minute coffee break by yourself. This tip is about self-care, which is crucial, because if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not taking care of anyone else around you. We as women, and I'm sure my husband will speak to the men the next hour as well, is that while we are part of a couple and while we are part of a family, we are also individuals, and we have our own needs, and we need our own time. And if we don't take the time to fulfill our own needs, and we don't take the time to drink our cup of coffee, or to buy that thing on Amazon, or to daven with Kavana for however long we need, or to go listen to that class for a few minutes, or to go on that treadmill, or whatever it is that we need to do to unwind and to be with ourselves and connect to ourselves, then we're going to be a shmata. We're not going to be able to be what we need to be for everyone else around us. So whether it's during the time of Corona, before this, after this, we always need to make sure that we are self-caring, that we are taking care of ourselves, doing things that we need to do. Even if our house is busy with people, go somewhere where it's quiet, do what you need to do by yourself, and then recharge your batteries that way. And once you do that, you'll be able to come back and be full on ready to take on the responsibilities of the day. But you found that time, you carved out that time, you had that time with yourself, whatever it is that you need to do. And it's also important to self-soothe. Again, a lot of us are feeling very anxious during this time. A lot of us are feeling a lot of tension and a lot of pressure, and there's a lot going on in our homes, in our lives, and it takes a lot out of us. So if we don't find that time to self-soothe, again, whatever that is, a glass of wine, whatever we need to make ourselves feel like we have that ability now to refocus and re-energize, do it. Take that time. You tell your husband, I need those few minutes. This is my self-care time, and he'll understand, and you'll be able to come back and be more yourself, and that's really important. And on the flip side, let your husband do that as well, but we'll talk about that soon, because the next one is called We Are All Different, tip number four. What does that mean? No two people are created the same, as we know. Many of us married our husbands because we complement each other. Well, I'm this, he's that, and the two of us together, are able to complement each other and bring those two aspects to the marriage. We're very different. K'shem she'ein partufeim domim ze lazeh kach deyoseim einam domim ze lazeh. Chazal said that just like our faces are not the same, right? Even our kids who have our genetic material, they don't look exactly like us. Every single person in this world looks different. So too, every single person in this world has different needs, has different wants, has different abilities, has different limitations. And we have to understand, especially during this time, that our husbands are different than we are. And what we need or what we want during this time might be very different than what they need or they want. And while my cup of coffee is restoring my energy and giving me the energy and what I need to be able to focus on the rest of the day, that might not be what my husband needs. And it could be that my husband's standing in the corner drinking a few cans of beer, and that's really irritating me because I don't think that that's the best thing for him to be doing. That's what he needs to be able to de-stress, to be able to calm down, to be able to get back into life and the day because it's just becoming very stressful. So we have to understand that outside of the crisis, maybe certain behaviors would be considered a vice. Maybe certain behaviors would be something that, you know, you'd shy away from or not recommend. If it's something that's in moderation, if it's something that's not self-destructive, if it's something that's not dangerous or going to harm anyone, then we have to give our husbands some space and realize that they're also human beings and they're also going through a hard time. They need to be able to do what they have to do to decompress and to de-stress and to find their space and to have their time. So whatever that is, we have to give them the ability to do that. And that could be for personality traits. There are definitely women who are seeing their husbands sit around the couch and watch something or be on their device. And they'll say, you never used to do that. You're such an active person. And now you're sitting there. I don't understand. Get up. Do something. It's hard to see you like this. But right now, this is what they need. And this is what they need to do. Again, as wives, we have to be their Ezer Kenegdo and help them along and move them in the right direction 100%. But these are difficult times and everyone is dealing with it on their own level. So we have to understand that what our husbands need right now might be different than what we are expecting from them or we want from them. And if it's in moderation and if it's fair and if it's something that is tolerable, let's give them that space to be able to do what they need to do. Just to give you a personal example, my husband's a little bit of a type A personality, very busy, always needs to be doing and running and teaching and going and involved and everything. And it's wonderful. I mean, that's, you know, that's his job and that's who he is. And I'm proud and it's great. So here we are now entering this new stage where everyone's lives kind of quieted down and everyone has to stay at home and you're not with people, you're not in shul, you're not, you know, out in the community. So I felt like, okay, I think things are going to quiet down now and he's going to have quiet and not be doing so much. And then I started seeing that he's teaching and he's doing and he's you know, busy online and he's recording and he's teaching. And I'm thinking like, well, I don't understand. Isn't it supposed to be a quieter time? Wasn't he supposed to slow down? And there was a seminar for Revitzins a couple weeks ago that YU organized with a therapist named Dr. Naomi Greenblatt, who's wonderful. And she actually was speaking to a group of Revitzins who she knows are married to type A personality rabbis. And she said something that really resonated with me. And she said, you know, your husbands are not going to slow down right now. You do know that. Even though life has kind of slowed down a little bit for so many of us, your husbands are not the types who are going to be able to slow down. They still need to be productive. They still need to be involved. They still need to be busy and reaching people and out there. And even though it's going to be done through a screen, they still need to be those type A personalities. It's just not going to change. And we have to understand that. And we have to give them the space to be able to do that because that's who they are. And they're not going to be able to stop that no matter what's going on in the world. And it totally like flipped a switch in my mind where I realized, why am I so frustrated? Why am I getting upset? This is who he is. This is what he needs to be able to get through this time. And I had to really adjust my thinking and realize that this is what's going to be. And he's never going to change. And I love that about him. And that's it. And I think that all of us in our own level and where our husbands are at have to be able to adjust that switch and realize, yeah, he might sit in front of the TV for an hour and he needs that. And he might, you know, obviously we should try to adjust it to be a time when the kids don't need to go to sleep and we need them involved in bedtime, or it could be a time when they aren't supposed to be doing something else. But we do have to understand that our husbands are going to have their way that they need to de-stress and they need to self-care. We have to respect that and we have to help that because it will only benefit us in the long run because they're getting what they need and they're being the mensch that they need to be in order to be able to function. So that's something we need to accept. We need to adjust our thinking and be able to just let them be and do what they need to do. And again, like we said, this is a limited amount of time. You know, there will be an end and Mirsa Hashem will get back to things and things will adjust and things will change. But for now, let's just let it be. Okay, tip number 5. The bedroom is your oasis. This is important because right now, not just is our time being used and busy and we're very preoccupied, but our house is busy and being used and is every section of the house is in overtime. Usually, like I said, most of our activities, most of what's going on in our lives is happening outside of our houses. It's happening, our kids are in school and we're at work or we're in the stores or we're driving carpool. We're not spending so much time in our houses, and certainly the rooms in our houses are not getting so much use. Our dining room table typically is reserved for Shabbos meals. Now I have three kids doing their school on our dining room table, and our, the bedrooms and everything is just, overtime, and it's going to be hard, to get back to normal because the kids now are getting used to being everywhere and we're getting used to being in every room. But what's really important during this time, and it's a very important tip, I hope everyone tries to do it moving forward, is to keep our bedrooms as our oasis. That is untouchable. No one's homeschooling in there. No one's doing the bills in there. No one's watching, the news in there and getting all stressed. When we go into our bedroom at night, or even if we could escape there for a few minutes during the day, we could walk in there and we could say, we are at peace. This is our room that is our escape. We could relax in here. We could breathe in here. This is our calm. This is our island. This is our Bahamas. This is our vacation spot. We need to be able to make our bedrooms into that because there's no other space in the house that's giving us that ability. And again, our bedrooms anyway should be a room that's for a couple. That's where they have their romance and where they have their affection. It shouldn't be used for just mundane activities. But certainly during this time when every room is being overused, let's try to make sure that we have one room that's our refuge, one room that's our vacation spot. And Amir Tashem, soon we'll all be able to travel on vacation with our husbands and go somewhere exotic and not need to put our bedroom into this. But for now, while we don't have that other space, let's keep our bedrooms sacred. Let's keep our bedrooms neat and clean and relaxing and beautiful, and let it be our space that we could just breathe and have our adult life in without any other distractions and any other stresses in there. Okay, tip number 6, put some makeup on. I've spoken about this before in Taharas Mishpacha refresher classes, where we've discussed how, very often we are prone to getting all dressed up and getting all beautified when we leave the house. Whether that's going to work, we put on our nice work clothing, or whether that's going to a wedding or a simcha, we obviously get all dressed up and all fapitzed. And when we go out to coffee with our friend, we even throw on something nice and attractive because we're going out of our houses. And very often, our husbands will come home from work and we'll be standing there at the door in our rattiest sweatpants and our knotty hair and just haven't been had a day that we just didn't think to put ourselves together and put any makeup on or care about how we looked. That's on a typical situation day. These days, we're not getting dressed up for weddings. We're not getting dressed up for work. We literally could stay in our pajamas all day and it wouldn't make a difference because we're not going anywhere. We're in the house all day. So certainly during this time, we need to be a little more aware of this and we need to show a little bit of care. And if for no other reason, it's because it makes us feel like women. It makes us feel like we have femininity. We have the ability to look beautiful and to dress up and to attract our husbands. And that's something that we need for our own self-esteem. And it's something that our husbands will appreciate also. Because when they see that we put the effort in to greet them with makeup on our faces and with not our, our biggest shmata on our heads and again, when you're cooking for Shabbos and if you're exercising, there are times when we are allowed to, wear our shmatas and not look so put together. That's fine. I'm not saying we have to always look perfect. But certainly during this time when we are not prone to get dressed and really care because we're not going anywhere, let's remember the people that we want to look the most beautiful for are our spouses. They're the ones who we're trying to attract, not the people who are seeing us at the wedding or our friends at the coffee shop. So let's keep that in mind. To try to put ourselves together once in a while, put some makeup on, make our hair, put something nice once in a while, just show that we care. And we have the perfect role models for this, because as we know, in Mitzrayim, when us women were beaten to the core, working in the fields, we were doing men's work, carrying the bricks, the stones, we were working so hard, we were so beaten down, we were a mess, we were, so tired and so overwhelmed and had no energy for anything. You know what the women did during that time? They had mirrors and they would look in their mirrors and they would say, you know what? I have some dirt on my face and my hair is out of place and I'm about to go see my husband. I want to make sure I look beautiful for him. And so in that time when they were slaves in Egypt and working so hard and so overwhelmed and so tired, they made the time and they took that chance to make sure that they would look in their mirrors and they'd make themselves beautiful for their husbands. And because of them, the Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and because of those mirrors, there was a kiyor, there was a beautiful sink in the Beis HaMikdash that was fashioned from their mirrors. That was the material that was used to be able to build this important edifice in the Beis HaMikdash that was used to cleanse the Kohanim, because the women were so holy and they were so pure. What they did to be able to make sure to attract their husbands in the worst of times, we should learn from that example. And we do till this day. So we have those role models who took the time and cared about beautifying themselves. We certainly, during this time, where it's, yes, it's definitely a difficult time, but certainly not as difficult as what they went through in the fields in Egypt. Let's make sure to take care and to really try to work on this area. Okay, tip number 7. Is stay positive. We have to always remember that even during these difficult times, there's so much to be grateful for. And it's hard to remember because life is a little bit more stressful and life is a little more crazy. And the news reports are very scary to watch. And we have loved ones who are getting sick and some who are even dying. And we are seeing terrible loss and terrible destruction. And it's a really, really scary time. And this time could definitely bring us down. Even those of us who have always been so positive, everything's great in our lives, there's no way that you can't be affected by what's going on around us. We're all affected by it because we're all home. And the rules are still in place and we can't go anywhere. And we're watching the news and we're reading what's going on and we see, and it definitely, definitely could bring us down. And people who are feeling it and have tremendous anxiety and depression, we definitely need to deal with it. And if you're feeling that heavy rock on your chest and you're feeling like you're in a confined space and you can't get out of it, there are professionals who you need to speak with and you need to meet with, and you need to make sure that you're dealing with it, because no one should be dealing with such a heavy anxiety during this time. There are medications, there are therapies, and we have to be dealing with it. For those of us who are just feeling negative, and negativity could come from, again, seeing the news or just from feeling overwhelmed. You know, those of us who have our kids home all day, that's very difficult. And it could definitely put us in a frantic, miserable mood. We're like, I can't get a break. I can't get a second. I'm overwhelmed, or I miss my older kids. I miss my kids who are married and living elsewhere. And I haven't seen them in so long. They can't come visit me. I miss them. It's weighing on my heart. I'm feeling this loss, this depression, this loneliness. Or those who are fighting with their husbands because it's just a lot of days cooped up together. Whatever it is, there is a lot of negativity going around. A lot of negativity. And we're all feeling it, and it's very hard to not have it affecting us. But the most important thing, and as the women in the homes who are supposed to be that beacon of light and be able to bring that positivity, we have to make sure to keep things uplifted, keep things positive. You know, Harvard researchers say that when you smile, it's contagious. Just like a sneeze or a yawn, when someone around you all of a sudden feel like you need to sneeze or yawn, a smile is the same thing. You know how you want to be around those people who have a perpetual smile because they just put you in a great place? That's how we need to be in our homes, because we're not seeing other people. They're not getting it from their friends or from their teachers. We need to be able to be that person in their lives who's bringing them positivity, who's making them feel better about what's going on in this day and age, who are not making them scared. I and our husbands too, you know, they also have a tendency to get down, to be able to, really be weighed down by what's going on here. And it would be, again, my husband's teaching this to the men, so he's going to tell them all this too. It's not only on the wives to bring the smiles and the positivity, and this is all stuff our husbands have to know as well. But certainly we could try our best to be positive, to have emunah, because emunah really is the conduit to being positive. When we focus on the fact that this is not arbitrary and this is not just by chance, that Hashem is behind this and he is pulling the strings and he's ruling the world, and for some reason this is what he has decided to do during this time period. If we have that belief, and that's the way that we speak and we invoke Hashem's name and we make brachos out loud and we, you know, make sure to find time to daven and make sure that we are keeping that emunah going and we have that faith, that also makes us more positive people, and that also helps. But definitely smile, try to be happy. Try to see the good in everything. Yes, we're home all day, but we are having quality time. Yes, it is a little bit crazy and we don't know what's going to be. But for right now, in this moment, things are quiet and I can live with quiet, and that's okay. Yes, I'm not seeing my kids who live away from home, but I have this quiet time with my husband right now, and that's okay. So for everything that we are struggling with, we have to try to see that positive light. We have to try to see that flip side, that there is always a flip side that could be good. And we have to try to find it. Because when we're happy and when we're smiling and when we're positive, the entire home is affected by that. The entire home exudes that positivity. It's a place that has a better atmosphere, a more peaceful atmosphere. And when we talk about shalom bayis, You know, you say it's a little bit funny how this mitzvah of a couple having harmony and getting along is called Shalom Bayis. A house doesn't have emotions. A house isn't involved in your relationship. Why is it called Shalom Bayis, peace in the home? And the reason is because when a couple has that good relationship and they feel good about each other and they're positive and they're happy and things are good and peaceful between them, the entire house is affected. You walk into a home where a couple gets along, you feel that in the home. The whole aura, the whole energy in the home is completely different than a house where a couple's fighting and at odds with each other. Anyone feels it walks into a house. You have a Shabbos meal by someone or your kids feel it. There's a different feeling in a home, a different environment. When a couple's in a fight, the whole home is affected by it. When a couple is in peace and harmony and getting along and positive, the whole home is affected by it. And you feel that. And it's a sense of you feel much better. This is a home that's at peace, that's tranquil, and you just feel good about that. And that's something that we so desperately need during these days when everything around us is so out of order and so not the way it should be. To stay, keep our homes positive, that's something that we really should try to do. And again, to keep that smile going is something that we could do to do our part to keep the peace in our home. Okay, tip number 8. At the end, we'll review all the tips, okay, because I know someone asked for that. Okay, tip number 8 is show some restraint. Everyone is going through a difficult time. Like I said before, just like we need self-care, our husbands need self-care. Just like we need that break in our day to have our coffee or to, you know, do our davening, our husbands also need that break in their day to drink their can of beer and maybe, sit on the couch and just space out. Everyone, I'm like so stereotypical right now, I'm sorry. But everyone needs their time. Everyone needs their space. We all understand that. And I think something to add to that point that is a separate tip because I really want to emphasize it is that we're all going through a difficult time. So there is certainly a heightened level of stress and anxiety. And we have to do our part to not let that stress and anxiety get to a point where it's really hard to bring it back. So what I'm saying is that often, you know, you'll get into an argument and you'll be so frustrated that you'll like hold that grudge. And then like for a few days, you'll be angry about that argument and there'll be really a lot of tension in the house and stress and it's miserable. Right now is not the time for holding grudges. Right now is not the time for jumping to conclusions that you're not doing this and you're not doing that. I wish you did this. And you know, now's the time to cut the other slack. Now's the time to cut fights into a shorter period of time and not let things prolong and get worse. Now's the time to be flexible. Now's the time to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Now's the time to be a little bit more looser on the strings and realize that we're all going through a hard time and this is a stressful time for all of us. And to be fighting and to be arguing and to be getting angry about every little thing that he does and why can't he do that and why can't he, you know, it be like this and I wish, you know, it's not going to be helpful to anyone. And when I say to show some restraint is that the stuff that you typically might have thought about before, maybe now's the right time to exercise that restraint, to realize, you know what? There's not enough energy to go around for us to be in a fight right now. There's not enough energy to go around for me to lose my cool over that character trait that has always driven me crazy, but now that we have even more hours together, it's driving even more crazy and I don't know how to control myself. Now's the time to just chill a little bit and ride the waves and realize that, you know, we can't understand fully what the other is going through, how they're handling this. Let's try to cut them some slack. Let's be no se ba'olam chavero. Let's try to be empathetic and sympathetic and have some of a, you know, a heart for the fact that they're also struggling in their own way. And let's not prolong these fights or this anger. Let that simmering anger just evolve and not go anywhere because it's not going to get us into a good place. It's not going to be productive. It's not going to help anyone. So let's try to move on. Let things go. Don't jump down each other's throats. Don't let things bother you and don't let them linger. It's just not the right time for that. It's not going to be a productive time for that. And it's just not something that anyone needs right now. And let's make sure that we're trying to keep things peaceful and not letting it get to a point where we can't bring it back easily. Tip number 9, and this is very important, and I teach this again in refresher classes, and I'll give a little overview of that refresher class in just a few minutes. But what's very, just now in this tip, tip number 9 is physical affection. Physical affection is a very important component of a marriage. While obviously we have to heighten our emotional connection to each other right now, and we have to make sure that we're spending time together and make sure we have our space to be with each other, and all of what we spoke about before are all crucial tips and we have to follow them and do everything we can. Another very, very important part to our relationship is physical affection, physical intimacy. when we'll talk first about physical affection. You know, everyone's going through a hard time, and just walking by our husband and putting your hand on his shoulder or giving him a hug or just doing some kind of a very small and insignificant gesture of affection, of physical affection, could go a very long way. It just shows that we're in this together. And we are able to, that, you know, we have this relationship with each other. And I remember that you're here. I remember how much I love you. Here, I want to just, you know, show you that affection. You know, during a stressful time, when you're even with a friend and someone lost a loved one, you put an arm around their shoulder, that goes a long way. You know, to give them a hug, it goes a long way. So certainly now with our husbands, to show them that affection is so crucial, because it shows that you know they're going through a hard time. We're all going through this hard time. We're in this together. Come, let's hug. You know, let's show each other that we're in this together. We really care. And showing that affection to each other goes a very long way. It's very, very important for a couple to interact physically and make sure to keep that intimacy alive and make sure that it's growing. And that's just little bits of affection. But we have to make sure that the stress of this time, and again, all the energy that we're expounding during this time, it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of stress, it's a lot that we're balancing. And I know I've repeated that, but it really is what makes this time period so unique, that there are new stressors in life that we might not have had before. And there are new time restraints, and there's a lot more pressure on us, and there's a lot of newness and stuff that we've never really experienced before. So we're all learning it, and we're all trying to go through it together. And we have to remember that the stress could very often lead to very negative effects on our intimate life with our husbands. And sometimes at the end of the day, we get to the point where we're completely spent. I mean, I just spent the entire day, you know, dealing with stuff in the house or dealing with the kids, or, you know, I can't possibly be with my husband right now. It's just, there's no way I can't. And it's interesting. My husband said that there are a couple of men who mentioned to him that while in the past, like the first thing, the only thing they've wanted was to be with their wives, they now finally understand their wives' perspectives when they said, honey, not tonight. I'm way too tired. I just spent the whole, you know, afternoon dealing with the kids come home from school and making dinner and cleaning up the kitchen and bedtime. And now I have to deal with this, that, and the other thing. And I can't, I'm just too tired. And now they're finally understanding the idea of I'm just too tired even for this, because it's just a lot to deal with and it's a lot going on. So it's very important to make sure the stress in our lives are not affecting that area in our lives that we're putting the effort in. I've said before, and I'll say it again, with the eating comes the appetite. Just like sometimes we're so stuffed that we can't imagine eating another thing, but then we start eating and all of a sudden we're hungry again and we're enjoying that food, and then we're able to eat the entire kiddish buffet because all of a sudden we're ravenous. So too here also, sometimes when you put that effort in, with the eating comes the appetite, the desire comes along with it, and you never ever regret having been intimate with your husband, ever. I don't think anyone has ever said, ugh, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. It's not like that piece of chocolate cake that you finish and then regret after. You don't ever regret those moments with your husband where you've bonded, you've connected in a way that you don't connect with anyone else in your life. No one's ever said, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. I can't believe it. I need to, you know, I'm going to be so angry about this. You're not. It's just, if anything, it only made you happier. It made you feel calmer. It made you feel more connected, and you bonded. And it's very, very important to make sure that air in your life is still running, that you're making the effort, that you're trying to put yourself in the mood. Sometimes when you get started on something, it only makes you want it more. So sometimes you just have to put yourself in the mood, whether that's taking a hot bath that night, or lighting scented candles, or putting yourself in something that's sensual, making yourself feel good. Again, a lot of women, like I said before, walk around like schmatzas. We're dealing with, you know, so much. It's a lot at home. You're stressed and anxious. The last thing you could do is put yourself in the mood to be with your husband. But we have to all realize that being with our husband is only going to be a stress releaser. It's only going to be something that's going to make ourselves feel better and make ourselves happier and feel better about ourselves and about our marriages. So there's no reason to hesitate. There's no reason to regret. It's something that we should definitely engage in, make time for, and we definitely will only enhance our marriages and make us feel closer to each other. One thing just to keep in mind, again, I don't want to be insensitive to those women who are not using the mikvah these days. I think I could speak for all mikvahs, most mikvahs around the world, that they are still open. We're doing our best to keep our mikvahs safe. They're being kept very clean. They're hygienic. They're, you know, the mikvah filter is going constantly. You know, there's chlorine, heavy chlorine. Everything is being done in a way that women should feel comfortable using the mikvah. And we're doing everything we can to make sure the mikvah is usable and at the highest level of cleanliness. Of course, there are some women who hesitate and feel like they don't want to put themselves, even if it's fine, they don't want to put themselves at risk. They don't feel comfortable. They might have people at home who are, you know, who might be affected by any kind of germ or anything. So, you know, for those women, it's definitely a difficult time to talk about physical intimacy because it's something they can't engage in. And my heart does go out to those women. It's very, very difficult. And I think it's important to, at those times, pay attention to the other tips. The emotional connection, whether it's playing games together, making those date nights, having those conversations we don't often have, to try to, you know, reinforce that and make time for that emotional connection during this time is very important. And again, it's a tough time as far as that. We have to all keep davening this time and soon, and we're able to get back to normal so that everything can resume the way it's supposed to, but including the women who would like to get to the mikveh and be with their husbands again. The last point I want to make, and then we'll do a quick review, and then we want our husbands to be able to get online and discuss and be able to have a similar kind of class, is the last point, which is probably the most important point, which is probably underwriting every single thing that I've spoken about, is healthy communication. Healthy communication is the foundation of every marriage and every relationship. If a couple doesn't know how to communicate effectively, if they're snapping at each other and they're so stressed that they find themselves raising their voices constantly or have an angry undertone in everything that they're saying to their husbands, this time is going to be very difficult. And it's only going to be complicated by that angry undertone or that inability to communicate in an effective and productive way. We have to make sure that we're speaking calmly, that we're speaking gently. These are our husbands. There's no one else in the world who we care more about, that we love more, that we want to make happy. When we're snapping at them and we're, you know, using them as our punching bags and exploding at them and not speaking in a calm, measured way, it's just making our marriages so much more complicated. It's just putting such a heavy load on it that we just don't want to be able to be in the same room because it's a yucky feeling to be yelled at. So it's very important to find that we're speaking with respect and we're speaking with kindness and we're speaking with sensitivity and we're understanding that we're in this together, that we're a partnership. We're not doing this alone. We're in this together. Let's figure a way how to be effective in our communication with each other, with others, with everyone who are in our home or outside of our home. Communication with each other and with everyone is so crucial. We have to also make sure that we're finding time to compliment our husbands. You know, we hope our husbands are now appreciating everything that we do at home, that they're seeing that our jobs are not easy, and we're, you know, it's tough to be a mother, it's tough to be a wife, it's tough to be a homemaker, it's tough to still be working our job from home and balancing everything we do. We hope that they're complimenting us and they're praising us and they're noticing our greatness and how incredible we all are. At the same time, we have to also notice our husbands and realize that they're also putting in a lot of effort and they're trying. And for them, this is a difficult thing also because they're inclined to be outside of the home and instead they're focused in the home. And it's definitely an adjustment and it's been hard for them too. We have to make sure that we are telling them that and we are explaining to them how we feel and how proud we are and how happy we are that things are going well and that they're trying their best and to keep encouraging it. As we know, positive reinforcement on anyone in our lives is always a good thing. We need to make sure that we are positively reinforcing the situation, that everything that's going right is being acknowledged. You're doing this great. You're doing that great. I love how you did this. You're amazing at that. And, you know, thank you so much for all that you do. To compliment, to praise, to be grateful. It's all very, very important. And remember that for every one feedback we give, which we could also say is a criticism, we have to make sure that we are giving 5 compliments and 5 praises. That's not enough to just say, you haven't done that right, and you never do this right, and I hate the way you do this. We could do that once in a while if we're also giving a lot of praises and compliments along with it. Okay, so it's very important to make sure that it's, you know, we're being positive. Again, that's where positivity comes in. If we're acting positive, we're speaking positive, it all adds to a lot of positivity in our relationships, and it's crucial right now. We all need that. It's also very important to make sure that we're discussing this time period together. What I mean by that is that we're all going through this time of this coronavirus crisis, and we're all processing it differently. You know, in some marriages, the man is this like very calm, even-keeled guy, can't stand watching the news, doesn't want to know what's going on outside the house. And the wife is like a ball of stress and anxiety, and she's exploding every second because she's so nervous. And the husband is losing patience for the wife of the way she's handling things. The wife is losing patience with the husband for how he's handling things. And if they could just communicate with each other and say, you know, this time period is really draining me. You know, it's been so hard for me. I wish that I could be calmer, but it's just so stressful. And husband's saying, you know, I see that it's so stressful for you. Maybe, you know, we could discuss a way to be a little calmer about it. And she could say, I see how you're so calm and it's bothering me that you're not understanding where I'm coming from. Whatever it is, and however you are experiencing this, you're together in this experience. You're a partnership. So you have to make sure that you're understanding where the other one is coming from. You're discussing it, you're having conversations about it, you're doing this together, you're in it together. And you're again, the way you're processing is different, so you have to understand where the other person's coming from and keep that communication open. Let's do this together. Let's make sure we're doing that together. Everything is together, you're a team. So the more that you promote this team and you encourage this team, the more that things will be harmonious and you're in this together and you'll feel good about the fact that you're doing it as a partnership, and it's not just you each on your own. Another thing also is that, you know, in a bunch of couples, they're both working from home. And if you don't communicate to each other how, you know, I'd rather maybe you go to this corner because it's easier for me to do my work over here, or saying this is not working for me, maybe we could, you know, structure this differently, that you could talk to your boss at that time, maybe, because then I'll talk to mine, and then, you know, one of us could watch the kid. Whatever it is, there's a lot of figuring out during this time. It's a lot of change. So we have to make sure that we're discussing it together, not making assumptions that each other know exactly what each other needs. We have to talk, and we have to talk in a way that's calm and talk in a way that's going to be productive, that's going to get us to where we want to go. We have the goals in mind, and now let's figure out how to get there in the calmest and gentlest and most sensitive way. And again, communication is key, but we have to make sure it's the foundation. We have to know that we have to be clear. We have to be loving, empathetic, caring, and sensitive about how we express ourselves, because our marriages need to survive these rocky times. You know, we're not like that first case scenario where that couple, that woman now sees the side of her husband and says, forget it, I have to be out of my marriage. You know, we're not jumping to that. We all hope that we could be able to move on from this, and that everything could be in a way that we could then move forward and be even maybe closer than we were before. And I think that's very important to do. So just to review the 10 tips, the top 10 tips, we spoke first about how we shouldn't judge our marriage by this time period. Like I said, no one should jump to divorce because of how horrible it's been. And no one should, you know, put their husband on this, you know, the greatest tzaddik pedestal because he's been so amazing during this time. This is an adjustment for everyone. Everyone is coping with it differently. What's happening now is not an indication of how your marriage is in general or how it's going to continue to be. Let's be smart about this, not jump to any conclusions, and not judge our marriages by Corona. Number two, let's find time when there is no time. Remember that we're all very busy and there's a lot going on, but it's crucial to carve out time for our marriages. And whether that's at night in our room alone, where we could have our, you know, our time together, or even during the day, if we could take a walk around the neighborhood on a Shabbos morning or whenever it is, make sure that you're finding time, and that time is not with our device. That time is focusing on each other. Like I said, how we went through, we reminisced about our dating and early marriage. Those things are great to be able to keep the relationship going. Make sure that you're making time for each other without distractions, without other people, that you're really going back to your dating, going back to what made you fall in love, and recreating those moments together. Tip number three, have a 5-minute coffee by yourself. What I mean is self-care. Whatever it is that you need, make sure you are doing for yourself. If you're not strong, if you're not finding the time to take care of yourself, you are certainly not going to be able to have the energy to be able to take care of anyone else. So make sure that you are doing what you need to do for your own sanity, for your own sense of calm, for what you need. Whatever that is, everyone has their own definition of what they need to self-soothe and to self-calm. Make sure you're finding the time for it. Number four, we are all different. That's how we can relate to our husbands. They also need their own self-care. They also need their own time. Like I said, there are times before this all happened where we might have been annoyed by the certain things that our husbands are choosing to do. It might not have been our choice of the self-care that we think is appropriate or right for us, but let's try to cut some slack. This is a difficult time, a stressful time. Our husbands need their outlets, as long as they are kosher and they are not destructive and not damaging and not hurting anyone. Let's give them that space and give them the ability to be able to do what they need to do to be stress-free and be able to do what they need to do to be a husband, a father, whatever it is that's going on in their lives. Number five, the bedroom is our oasis. Let's try to set that place aside, that everyone could be all over the house, but when it comes to our master bedroom, that is our oasis. When we walk in there, whether it's with our husbands or by ourselves, we could breathe. We know this is our space. This is our sacred place for us to just be able to relax, not hear the news, not do our to-do list, not discuss the bills and the payments and the tuitions, not to discuss our children and the stresses of today's life, and not to have any kids in there to do their homeschooling. Let's try to keep our bedrooms our oasis, our vacation. And please God, soon we'll have to go on a real vacation. But for now, that will be our vacation spot. Number six, put some makeup on. Like I said, we are inclined to be schlumpy these days. We're not going anywhere. We're not getting dressed up for any reason. Let's try to make sure, like the women in Mitzrayim, to look in our mirrors once in a while, to try to beautify ourselves, to care about how we look, how we appear. Our husbands are our most important people in the world. If we're not dressing up for them, there's no one else more important to dress up for. Let's try to make an effort in that area. And if for no other reason, it just makes ourselves feel like women, feel like, you know, help our self-esteem, make us feel good. So it's important for a million reasons. Number seven, stay positive. Remember what we're grateful for. It's a difficult time. It could definitely bring us down. Let's make sure to stay above it. Let's make sure to see the positive. Make sure that we have smiles. Smiles are contagious. If we try to increase the happiness of simcha in the home, the whole aura, the whole environment in the home will change, and there'll be shalom, there'll be peace, people will feel good, and things will be under control. It's all about our positivity and to make sure that we are increasing that simcha in the home. Number eight, show some restraints. Let's be careful how we respond. Let's be careful not to get into fights. Let's be careful to be done with kafschos, to not jump off the handle. Let's remember these are difficult times and we have to try to control ourselves, restrain ourselves, to not let things get to a point where it's really hard to come back from. Let's try to have a little bit of calm. Let's be no se ba'ol. Let's be sensitive. Let's be empathetic and care about how we react and how we treat our spouse. Number nine, physical affection, intimacy. Let's make an effort in this area. A little gesture, a little touch goes a long way. In the bedroom, let's make sure that our intimate life is strong. This is actually, nights are to ourselves. We don't run to weddings or simchas. There are no PTA meetings or anything really going on at nights. So, you know, try to shut off the house, close all the lights, let everyone, all the kids be in their own rooms. And you have that space in your bedroom and you go and try to make that time, make the effort, make sure that this is a healthy area in your marriage, because what goes on in the bedroom affects the entire home. Our bedroom is called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the most important room and important space in the entire Beis HaMikdash. So too, our bedroom is the most important space in our home. We have to always make sure that it's holy, that it's being used in the right way, and that we're making sure to always work on our physical relationship with our husbands. It's a very important part of marriage. Number 10, healthy communication. We have to make sure that the way we're expressing ourselves is productive, is calm, is gentle, is kind, that we're sensitive, that we understand that we're each going through a hard time. Let's not try to approach each other with anger and with stress. Let's try to keep that in check and speak calmly and speak gently and make sure to get our point across in a productive way. Let's also make sure to compliment and to praise. Everyone's trying their best. So we could also do our best to make sure that we're giving that positive reinforcement and that we're partners and that we understand that we're both processing and dealing with things differently. And let's try to have effective communication on how to be a partnership and work well together. And I just want to thank you all again for tuning in. Let's all remember that women are the Akeres HaBayis. The root of the word Akeres is Ikar. We are the main part of our homes. We are the most important. We are everything, of course, because we're women. We're the best. So we have to remember that we have to be strong and we have to keep working on ourselves and do whatever we can to keep our marriages strong, to keep the peace in our homes. And my husband now will speak to the husbands. I hope all your husbands are going to tune in starting in 4 minutes. He will start speaking 5 minutes to start speaking to the men and give them a lot of these points and more that pertain specifically to men. Make sure that they are also learning this. It's very important that we all work on ourselves during this time. If anyone wants to talk, if anyone needs anything, my husband and I are always here for you. We care about all of you. We want this to be as easy a time as possible for everyone. And sending you so much love through the screen. Hope to see you all in person very, very soon. Miss you all. Stay safe, stay healthy. Can't wait to see you all in person soon in good health and with great marriages. Have a good day.